Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our new sermon series called Chosen, that is looking at godly women from the Bible and how God used them to accomplish great things. This Sunday we will be in the book of Ruth to look at two women, Naomi and Ruth, that found love, purpose, and joy through their grief. The book of Ruth is only four chapters long, but it is a story that demonstrates the love of Jesus has for us. In Ruth's great despair and hopelessness, Boaz steps in and redeems her. He gives her hope. Ruth also becomes part of Jesus' family history, even though, like Rahab, she was not a child of Israel. This gives us all hope for the future. Jesus purchased us with his very life, and we can become one of his children by believing in him, even though we might have been separated from him all our lives. The most famous passage from Ruth comes from chapter 1. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. What powerful verses of friendship and loyalty, but those are God's promises to us as well. He will always be with us, even at death and when we step into eternity. Don't let another day go by without making Jesus your closest friend so you can claim the promises of God the Father. Have a blessed week, and thank you for listening.
This morning. Oh God, fill us with gratitude and love as we worship you. May the praises and the prayers of this hour be sincere. Make us attentive to the movement of your Holy Spirit. Let this time be sacred and holy because you are near us. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall show forth your praise.
Our anthem is by our bell choir playing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
Our scriptures are read by Carol Barber, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Chosen, Rahab, a Faith in Action.
The first lesson is found in Hebrews chapter 11, reading verses 29 through 35. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith were conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, that they might rise again to a better life. The second reading is from James chapter 2, reading verses 17 through 26. So faith by itself has no works, is dead. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish fellow, that faith apart from works is barren? Was Abraham, our father, not justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by works. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith from works is dead.
I'm excited about this study. It's called Chosen. We're looking at godly women of the Bible. Holly Berry and Vandy Miller are also leading a ladies' Bible study on Wednesday nights at 6:30, covering the same topic. They're going to go more in depth and cover more ladies. I'm going to cover five of them in 4 Sundays. And there are so many examples that we can see in Scripture where God chose people that you wouldn't think that he would normally choose to be one of his great servants. And the one we're looking at today is one of those. You only see her listed a few times in Scripture. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 6. I encourage you to read the first 6 chapters of Joshua this week to get the whole story. The Israelite people have come out of Egypt. They've been 40 years in the desert, and they have crossed into the promised land. They have battled a few armies, and they're getting ready to take on the biggest army they've faced so far. And so they're coming in, they're looking for success. And you would think God would have chosen someone of a little bit more quality, some more value than the name we're going to look at this morning. I think it's interesting when we look at Rahab, her name is always followed with two words. Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the harlot. Some translations have Rahab the innkeeper, but no mistaking the profession that she was in. She lived in a foreign country. She was not of the Israelite family. And for some reason, God chose her to be the person that we would remember from that time till now, of one that showed great faith in action. I don't know about you, but I don't think I would want to be defined by my worst mistake. I don't think I want to be defined by the worst times in my life, or be defined by the worst past failures of my life. But for some reason in Scripture, no matter before, during, or after, Rahab the prostitute.
It followed her then. It followed her later in life. It followed her even now that we read it even to this day. That's what had defined her, and that's the way that we know her. You know, that's why I love the Bible so much. It doesn't gloss over those things. It doesn't, you know, Photoshop those things out of our lives. We can look at all the characters of Scripture, and each one is a flawed character. We have Abraham the liar. We have David the adulterer, David the murderer, Peter the denier, Thomas the doubter, Paul the murderer. We can go on and on and on. Why in the world was Rahab the one that gets that defining thing put to the end of her name? I think the reason was that reinforces that no matter who we are, no matter what station we have in life, no matter where we come from, God can use us if we have a faith that responds to Him. So if you turn to Joshua chapter 2, we're going to read there the story of Rahab. We're going to skip to Joshua chapter 6. But someone said it like this: faith is more than thinking something is true. I think a lot of us would maybe stop at that. We would say, hey, I believe that Jesus is true. I believe that, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. And James said that, hey, that's great. But then the person went this: faith is thinking something is true to the extent that we act on it. We can believe something is true all day, but until we act upon it, until we follow through, until we step out on faith, faith isn't a real faith. It's a belief, but it's not an action. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 2. If you want to follow along, there's a place in your bulletin, a place in your program to write down scripture, write down notes if you want to follow along. But it says, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Joshua was not going to make the same mistake Moses made. Moses sent 12 spies. 10 of them came back not very positive. 2 only came back, you know, with good news. So Joshua said, I'm not going down that path. I'm only sending 2. I want good news. He says, go look at the land. He says, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. You know, they went to a place that wouldn't be unusual for people to come, you know, men to come in and out of, unknown men. And so they went to a place that they hoped that they could blend in, not be noticed, but someone noticed them. They went to the king. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies laid down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for when you came out of Egypt. Remember, that was 40 years ago. And it still struck fear in the people of Jericho. And she says, we heard what you did recently to Sihon and Og, the 2 kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord and that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Remember that. We talk about the walls of Jericho falling and being destroyed. Her house was in that wall. Hide yourselves, that there are 3 days until they return, then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your families into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, Their blood will be on their own heads, and we will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Skip over to chapter 6, verse 17. They've come into the city. They've marched around it. Joshua gives this order. He says, the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared because she hid the spies we sent. Skip down to verse 22. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young man who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and her mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out the entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and the iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. I think that's just a fascinating story. We get the name of Rahab consistently through the story. We get Rahab's profession consistently through the story, but we don't get the names of the two spies, do we? They're the ones that risked their lives just as well, but for some reason, God wanted us to know the story of Rahab. And what can we take away from the story of Rahab this morning? We read a couple of the verses in the New Testament that she's at. There's another verse that Rahab is in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. You know where you find Rahab at again in the New Testament? She's in the genealogy of Jesus. God took someone who was not part of the Israelite family and for some reason brought her out, used her to do a great thing for his kingdom, and then not only rewarded her with lives of safety, a brand new place to live, but then put her in line. And again, in that one, it's not Rahab the prostitute there, it's just Rahab. She's listed in the genealogy of Jesus himself. Does that give you hope that God can love anyone and do great things with them? One of the things that we can take away from this message right here is that Rahab responded to God's message. She had people come in and out of her house, people come in and out that she mixed with at the market, in the town, walking in the midst. They had heard them talking. Man, there's an army coming. There's people coming. They've destroyed Sihon. They destroyed Og. Man, those are the two of the best armies you're ever going to come across. They're coming to our place next. And it said that everybody melted with fear. Even the stories of 40 years ago still rang in their ears that there's something special about this God. There's something special about this people. She responded to the message. How many times have you heard about the greatness of God and not responded? Rahab was not going to let that happen in her life. I think it's interesting that she hid the spies before she made the deal with the spies. She didn't get the deal ahead of time. She didn't make this thing work out, say, hey, take care of me, I'll take care of you. She took care of them, and then she worked out a deal with them. She said, hey, be kind to me, be kind to my family, but she responded to the message of God. How are we supposed to respond to the message of God? Paul writes to the Romans this. He says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Peter, when asked the same question, how do we respond? What do? He says, repent, change your life, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. There comes a time when we've got to respond to the message. I tell you, all the examples of Scripture that the writers could use, that God could use to make these examples of faith, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, you get the big boys. You get David, you get Moses, you get Joseph, you get Isaac, you get Jacob. Then you get Rahab. Man, you could have mentioned Hannah, you could have mentioned Sarah, you could have mentioned Deborah, you could have mentioned all these great ladies of faith, but Rahab's mentioned with the big boys. James chapter 2, when he's making his point about, you know, Abraham was justified by righteousness, the father of the Israelite nation, Who does he claim next? In same way, Rahab, the prostitute, showed her faith by hiding the spies. God asked us to respond to the message. Number two, she didn't let her past failures keep her from God. She had traded her body for profit. She had become probably an embarrassment to her family. She was at the bottom of society. But she said, man, no matter what's happened, I'm going to respond to this God. And she says, you know, everybody is scared to death, but I'm going to step out on fear, and I'm going to trust you to change my life. We see the woman at the well, five times married, living with a man now, going down the same path she's tried to find happiness with all the time. We all do the same thing, but she took one more chance. And Jesus engaged with her. And she said, come and see the man that knows everything about me and still wants to be around me and tell me about God's love and forgiveness. The woman that had been, you know, bleeding all of her life, gone to specialist after specialist, tried everything, but she tried one more time, snuck up in the crowd, touched Jesus' coat, and said, I'm going to try one more time. She didn't let her past failures keep her from God. Paul wrote the Ephesians this. He says, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise. You were estranged. You had no part in God's kingdom without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He said, they didn't let your past failures. Even if people were going to define her the rest of her life with those two words, the prostitute, the harlot. She says, I don't care what you think. I'm going to step out. I'm going to trust God's grace. I'm going to trust his mercy. The third thing that we can take away from Rahab's story is that she saved her family. You know, if I'd been her, I wonder if her family was really proud of her. They may have been embarrassed by her. They may didn't want to really talk about her. But her first thoughts were her family. I would have said, hey, guys, can I go with you tonight? Can I sneak out with you tonight? But she said, no. I went, what about my family? What about my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters, and all their families? He said, you get them in the house. They need to stay in the house. You know, it's hard to speak to family about God. It's hard to be with family about faith and about religion. I remember my grandpa Ed telling me that, you know, there's three things you don't talk about: death, taxes, and religion, something like that. It's hard to bring those things up with family. I wonder what the conversation was like with Rahab and her family. Hey, I know it's going to be hard for you to believe, but God's coming. He's going to destroy Jericho, and the only way to be safe is to get to my house right now. And they're saying, man, we don't want to be anywhere near your house. Do you know who goes into your house? But somehow she convinced them. All through Scripture, we've seen one family member make the difference in their family. We saw Noah. He got all of his family on the boat. We saw Andrew invite Peter. We saw James and John. We saw Timothy's mother and their grandfather make a difference in his life. My son-in-law, before he became my son-in-law, he came to church. Only member of his family that would come to church before he ever became a Christian. I know he had the enticement of impressing me and impressing Betty and impressing his, you know, his wife to be down the future. But at that time, they dated. They broke up. They were just friends. But he still kept going to church. Even when we weren't there, he still kept going to church. Rahab saved her family because of her faith taking action. Number four, we see she waited on God and obeyed him. Man, how hard was it to watch the army march around the city every day, seven times on the seventh day, wondering if this was going to be the day? Her family wondering, why do I need to stay here? We see her put the cord outside the window, giving some visibility to her faith. People then risking her life because she put that cord out to save them, to save her, but she was risking her life and her family's life. And she stayed amidst the destruction. Sometimes you're asked to be that person in the midst of great chaos, a great loss, great hurt, to be that person to stand when everything else is falling. Remember, her house was in the wall. She heard all the other bricks falling, all the rest of the wall being destroyed. Her house stayed safe because God had promised her. Many times it's easy to run, it's easy to take off, it's easy to flee. But God asked her to be that one person to wait, to obey, so her whole family could be safe. We also see that God doesn't look for the ones who have it all together, but he looks for the faithful. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Throw that one in for free. this week. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He used her to do a great thing. She didn't know it was a great thing at the time. He's asking each one of us to be faithful in our spots, to be faithful in the place that God has placed us in, with your family and your community and your job and your school, with your friends in high school, to be that one person, maybe that doesn't have it all together, but I have a faith that's not going to be rocked, a faith that's not going to change. We see the roll call of the faithful. We talked about earlier, we don't see the names of the spies. God looks for one's faith in action. And then finally, the last thing, the most important thing, I think, she changed cultures. She left the life that she knew. She left the life of sin that she had been in. She left the area that she was familiar with. Even though she was scared, that they said, our hearts have melted with fear. It's hard to make a decision when we're scared, but she did it. She changed her culture. She changed her life. And because of that, she's listed in the genealogy of Jesus. See, when we become a Christian, when we make that decision to follow Him, we have to change cultures now. As we read last week in Romans, we're not a slave to sin anymore. We're a slave to righteousness. We've got to have fruit of the Spirit. The woman that was caught in adultery at Jesus' feet, I don't condemn you, He said. But hey, this life has not led you down the best path. He said, go and sin no more. There has to be a change in our lives. There has to be a change in our culture when we follow Him. Because all of us have been Rahabs at one time. We've all been outside the family of God. We've all been estranged from Him. On Friday night, we went and watched the movie, or the play, The Orient Express, up at Arrow Rock at the Lyceum Theater. All right? And so the whole play, you're wondering who did it, just like a good Agatha Christie play. I'm going to ruin it for you that have not read a book that's been around for 100 years. But if you've not read it, it's on your own head. Everybody did it, all right? They all did it. They all took their own stab at the person, then killed the person because of their own animus toward him. They all did it. We've all been in Rahab's place. But then just like Rahab, we have a choice to step out and become part of God's family. Have you labeled yourself like Rahab? Maybe it's not been other people, but you put this thought in your brain that you are so-and-so the, and you've let that keep you from stepping out and living a life for God. That name followed her all of her life, but when she was scared, she stepped out and made a choice that changed her life. I remember when I made that choice, I stepped down, they all came forward at Ninth Street Christian Church at the end of my freshman year. I was scared to death, but I knew it was a choice that was going to change my life. 33 years ago, when I made that step out on a hot August day in Liberty, Illinois, to marry my wife, I'm 22, she was 19, scared to death, not knowing where we're going to go, not knowing what God's going to give us and what things that we're going to have to face. When we're faced with that fear, we step out and our life changes. The scarlet cord that hung out her window saved her and the spies. Just like the blood that was over the door of the Israelites when the death angel came and saved them, just like the scarlet cord that hung out the window of Rahab saved her and the spies, we have the cross of Jesus that saves us today. The blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross for us. And the question is, have we taken hold of it? And have we had that blood applied to the sins in our lives? What is God asking you to respond to and change? Maybe you're one of the spies. Who is God sending you to? Someone that no one would ever think of to send the message and bring the message of God. The smallest step in faith can create the biggest miracle. I think that's the greatest story that we get from the story of Rahab. I don't know where you're at this morning, where you're in your faith journey, where you're in your walk. If you've got questions, you've got a decision on your heart, something you need someone to pray with, fill that card out, see me. Let's have that prayer together. Let's make that change. Let's make that change of culture. Let's step out on faith, and let's see what great miracle God has in store for us.